This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma allimna ma yinfa'na wa yinfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma. وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. أهلا وسهلا everybody to day 9 of our Fiqh of Salah series. Last time تحدثنا عن we started talking about صلاة التطوع, right, the voluntary prayers. We didn't finish the section, inshallah. So today we want to finish it and maybe get started and discuss Salatul Jama'ah. That's our next topic. So inshallah, today we want to finish Salatul Tatawwu', voluntary prayers. Thumma, we want to talk about Salatul Jama'ah. Interesting topic, inshallah. We're not going to finish it for sure. We'll get started on, inshallah, but we won't finish it. And then in the following weeks, we'll cover also Salatul Mariid. Right, shortening the prayer, combining the prayer, Salatul Khawf, the fear prayer, Salatul Jum'ah, Eid, Kusuf, Matar, right? And then we'll talk about Al-Janaiz, funeral, the deceased. طيب, as usual, we start with a review. Bismillah. So, last week, the author started by mentioning what are the highest recommended voluntary prayers. Who remembers the ones he mentioned? Akadu. Anybody remember? Akadu Salat. Huh? At-tatawwu'. He mentioned four. Naam. Okay, we talked about those, but he mentioned four specific ones. Before even that, he said, huh? Naam? No, he didn't mention that. He said, Salat al-Kusuf. Right? What else? He said, Salatul Kusuf, Thumma, Istisqa, Thumma Taraweeh, and then he mentioned Witr. So he said, the highest recommended, Kusuf, Istisqa. Kusuf is when the solar eclipse happens, right? And Istisqa is the rain prayer, right? Asking for rain. And then he mentioned Taraweeh, and then he mentioned Al-Witr. And then he mentioned Al-Witr. some of the ulama made these wajib, some of these wajib, right? So that's why they're very highly recommended. Taban, of course, the two before Fajr are highly recommended, the duha, etc. But these are from the highest. And we also know that, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he made al-witr wajib. He made al-witr wajib. Like it's wajib for the person to pray al-witr because of the emphasis in some of the hadith. طيب, so we said kusuf, istisqa, right? Eclipse. Rain, prayer, and then he mentioned what? Taraweeh, and then witr. Those four. Jamil. طيب, what is the least number of rak'at for witr? We discussed, what's the least? Huh? Which one? I saw it go like this. And then. Yeah, so the least, aqal, one. Yeah, and witr, fil Arabi, what does it mean? Wahid, al-witr, and that's one of the names of Allah, right? Allah says, Allah actually swears, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَا يَنْعَشْ وَالْشَفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. Someone asked about الشَّفْعِ last week. الشَّفْعِ means even. Okay? So الشَّفْعِ is even and الْوَتْر is odd, right? Uneven. نعم؟ Yeah. When we say, they say you pray الشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْر after Isha. So الشَّفْعِ is any prayer you pray before witr after Isha. After Isha, before witr. You can call all of that shafa', right? طبعاً, we know there's the sunnah of the rawatib. That's where we stopped last week. From this, we said either 10. Actually, anyways, this is the next question. So what is the least number of rak'at for witr? Is one. What's the most that we have from the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ? Huh? We said 11. Right? 11. So we said the Prophet ﷺ has prayed 1, 3, 5, 7, 11, right? And by the way, this 11 shows you, okay, that the night prayer, okay, 11 was part of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, right? When we talked about Taraweeh, You know, the Hanabila said it has to be 20. But when you look at the other evidences, it seems like the 11 was also something that was part of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and you saw in the witr as well. Because witr, technically, the Taraweeh in Ramadan, your witr is almost like a Taraweeh, right? 11 rak'at, tamam? He would do that, right? Tayyib, Jameel. What is the most? Oh, we just said it. So we said the most is 11. Naam. What is the least number of rak'at for Taraweeh? What's the least? For Taraweeh? Hey, Sheikh, this is a new opinion. Huh? So we said 11. The Taraweeh, 11. The Hanabila said the least 20. But it seems like the right opinion is that 11 is the least, right? You would pray 8 with Shafa al-Witr. Tamam. And that's acceptable. And some said that's the closest to the Sunnah. Wallahu a'lam. But we said last week that it's all acceptable. If you pray 20, that's acceptable. We have narrations where people in Medina, yani early generations, yani we're talking about like Imam Malik's time, they started doing like in the 30s, tamam, because people couldn't handle the long standing, right? فَكُلُّهُ جَائِز. So really, if we ask about what's the maximum, okay, what's the maximum for Taraweeh? There's no real maximum, and there's no dalil for someone to say there's a maximum. Wallahu ta'alam. So if someone wants to do more than 20, we have evidence for that. We shouldn't be strict on that. طيب, how many are the rawatib? We said rawatib are things that the Prophet are the sunan that the Prophet ﷺ never missed, or he would always make sure that he prayed them. And we said they're either what, 10 or 12. No, they're either 10 or 12. And the only issue that they had a difference about this, the only reason they had difference is because there's a hadith from one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ that she said 12, and there's a hadith that Ibn Umar said 10, right? And some of the ulama, they said that, well, who's more likely to have seen him more often? The wife. So they said, you know, it makes more sense that the wife, that opinion is closer, right? And also because of the other reason was what? We have a hadith that says that the person who prays 12 will have a house in Jannah. The person that prays these rawatib will have a house in Jannah. And we said these rawatib are when? We have the two before Fajr, okay? And then we have four before Dhuhr. The Hanabila said it's two before Dhuhr. But the other opinion is that four before Dhuhr. So that's what? Six, okay? So six, and then two more after Dhuhr, eight. And then two after Maghrib, 10. And then two after Isha, 12. And if you pray those, some of the ulama said, is the math right? What's wrong? طيب. We said two before Fajr, four before Dhuhr, six. Two after Dhuhr, eight. Two after Maghrib, 10. Two after Isha, okay, 12. Okay, so these are the rawatib. And some of the ulama, they said the hadith, if you pray 12, a person will have a house in Jannah. Some said that this is for the person who can, يعني, مداوم على ذلك. He did this often. Others said, for every 12 you do, it's a house. And that's not something يعني, unrealistic for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Jannah, okay, people are going to have mansions and gardens and houses. فالله كريم. So try your best to do that whenever you can. Even if it's like twice a week, you know. Two houses a week, yani, that's a good investment. طيب. Here it takes you 30 years to get a house. and this is a house that you have to leave behind for your kids and other people who don't care about you. طيب. How many are the rawatib? So we said 10 or 12. There's other sunan. We're not going to discuss them here. Maybe in a more advanced class. Sheikh Hassan, in his lectures on Fridays, he mentioned them. There's other sunan that the Prophet ﷺ would pray, right? Other sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ would pray, like some before Asr, some before Maghrib, right? And so they're a lesser level, but the Prophet ﷺ would pray them, would also pray them. So that's also part of the sunnah, a sunnah that is kind of forgotten. cool. طيب, let's continue. So, تفضل. Yeah. These are additional ones, not from the rawatib, like not from the, I guess, the high level of voluntary prayers. There's a second level after that, okay? I believe there's. We'll talk about the awqat al-karaha. We'll talk about them. It's here. It's here, inshallah. Abshir. So, what about it? So, here you're asking about, can I combine the niyyah? Yeah, so you have two options. You can pray tahiyyat al-masjid, okay? Tahiyyat al-masjid is like the two rak'ahs that the Prophet ﷺ told us to pray before we sit down, okay? some of the ulama, so here's the thing. Tahiyyat al-masjid, you shouldn't sit down in the masjid unless you prayed. If the jama'ah started, do you pray tahiyyah then jama'ah? You just pray your jama'ah, inshallah, you have done tahiyyah to the masjid. That's the point, is that you have done your tahiyyah to the masjid. طيب, if you want to make your... طيب, let's say I'm coming for Fajr, and do I pray tahiyyah then too? You can do that. ما في مشكلة. Can I pray the two of Fajr, and that will count as tahiyyah? Yeah, that's fine. يجوز الجمع بين النيات from the same level. Okay? You can join the niyyah for something in the same level. Same level, يعني... level of sunniyah. Here, it's tahiyyah is a sunnah, and the fajr is a sunnah. So yajuz al-jam' baynahum. Allahu a'lam,
na'am. What else, what other prayers can be combined?
So for example, let's see. Think of, so salat al, we said tahiyyah, okay? What other salawat can we combine niyyah for? Istikhara is better to do it separate. Two rak'ahs separate, other than your sunnahs. Okay? Specific, because it's specific for that istikhara. And istikhara, you can even say it without the two rak'ahs. But it's better to do two specific rak'ahs for it. Wallahu alam. Other ones, I can't... Right now, my brain is naam. Yep.
What about before Salat al-Jumu'ah?
Mm-hmm.
Before Sunnah, does that count as like the Tahiyyat al-Masjid? Because technically it's four and it's two.
Yeah. ما في مشكلة. So any Sunan like that we mentioned for Dhuhr, for
it's different numbers, right? Because in Fajr it's two, but like here it's four.
لا. Here your first two, like your first two for Dhuhr. مثلاً you want to pray Dhuhr. The first two for Dhuhr. You just came in, you pray two. You the first two you prayed for Dhuhr, for the Sunnah of Dhuhr, will count as Tahiyyah. Not a mushkil. Inshallah, you get the word for both of them. طيب, the next thing that the Mu'allif says, he says, وتسن صلاة الليل بتأكد. So next he says that صلاة الليل, the prayer at night, is Sunnah مؤكدة. It's something that's highly recommended. Okay, it's something that is highly recommended. And then he says, وَهِيَ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ النَّهَارِ. And it's better than the prayer of النهار. طبعاً, the voluntary prayer of النهار. Okay? So the mas'ala is, you have voluntary prayers in the day and you have voluntary prayers in the night. Which one is better? The Hanabila, they say that the one in the night is better because of the hadith, أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ. The best prayer after al-farida, after the obligatory prayer, is the prayer of the night, right? And it makes sense. And the prayer of the night is a prayer that is more private with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have many narrations that the prayer, the night prayer is sharaful mu'min, and many narrations like that. So the night voluntary prayer is highly recommended. They're better than the daily voluntary prayers. Any form of night voluntary prayer falls into this. So any general nafil in the night prayer, from Taraweeh to Witr to Tahajjud. Tahajjud is after when you sleep and then you wake up and you pray. All of those, your Witr, all of that counts as night prayer. Okay? So Salatul Layl is like a big circle. Okay? In that circle, you have Witr, you have Tahajjud, you have Taraweeh, right? All those different kinds. So that all of that will fall into the night prayer. طيب, then we go to Sujood al-Tilawah. So we're going to talk about Sujood al-Tilawah, Sujood al-Shukr. Okay, or Sajdat al-Shukr. So Sajdat al-Tilawah, what's Sajdat al-Tilawah? What's Sajdat al-Tilawah? Tilawah is recitation. So Sajdat al-Tilawah is what? When you see that sign in the masjid, in the Quran, that looks like I don't know what it looks like. Naam? Like a prayer mat or a, yeah. So that means you have to do a tilawa, a sajda, right? So they call sajda tilawa because it's a sajda when you're reciting Quran. طبعاً, is this related to the salah? Yes, because it can be done in the salah and it can be done outside of the salah. Versus sajda to shukr, okay, the Hanabila say it's not part of the salah. It's not part of the salah. طيب. That's an important thing to mention. So, وَسُجُودُ تِلَاوَةٍ لِقَارِئٍ وَمُسْتَمِعٍ. Okay? So, sajda tilawa, طبعاً, it's recommended. This is not something wajib, يعني, you don't have to do it. But it's highly recommended. وَسُجُودُ تِلَاوَةٍ لِقَارِئٍ, for the reciter, وَمُسْتَمِعٍ. Okay? وَمُسْتَمِعٍ. What does it mean, مُسْتَمِعٍ? يعني, the one who's attentively listening, not the one who hears. Okay? So there's sam' and there's istima'. There's sam' and istima'. Al istima' is when you're trying to hear and you're listening, right? You're listening to something. As sam' is when you hear something. So he's saying it's for the one who's reading and the one who's listening. Yeah, and he's following the recitation. It's recommended for both of them to do sajdat at-tilawa. And it happens in 14 places. Okay, 14 places according to the Hanabila. Anybody know the 14? You guys want to go over them? So we have the first one in. Are we going from Baqarah down? So the first one from Surat Al-A'raf. Okay. Anything in Anfal? Nope. Anything in? Nope. 12? Nope. 13? We have one in Surat Al-Ra'd. Okay. So that's two. You guys got to help me, man. That's two. And then we have 14, 15, 16. I think in... Naam? La, man, you guys... Surat Al-Nahl, is there one? I think there's one in Surat Al-Nahl. Yes, that's three. Is there one in Surat Al-Isra? No. Surat Maryam? Yes. So that's four, Surat Maryam. Ataha? No. Anbiya? No. Surat Al-Hajj? Okay. Surah 2-2, right? Surah 22 has two sajdat. This, you won't forget it this way. Surah Al-Hajj is 22. So it has two. It's the only surah that has two. So 4 plus 2, we're at 6 now. Allahu Akbar. Okay, we're at 6. Surah Al-Mu'minun doesn't have, Surah Al-Nur doesn't have, Furqan, I don't think so. Shu'ar. Furqan fiha? What's the sajda for Furqan? Google says Furqan. Okay, so let's say Furqan, so that's 7. Okay, there's in Naml, Naam, so that's 8. There's in Rum, no. Luqman, no. Sajda, yeah, Sajda there is, yeah. So that's 9. Saad, we're going to talk about Saad. Hold on to Saad. So we said Sajda, 32, 33, Ahzab, no. Asaba, no. Fatir, no. Okay, so all the 30s don't have any. Fussilat, na'am. Fussilat has one. Na'am. So that's 10. 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. Did you say what? Which one? Najm, na'am. 53 in the end, right? So that's 11. And then we have 56, 57. Na'am. We have Surat al-Inshiqaq. And then we have Iqra. Bismi Rabbik. Okay. That's 13. We missed one, man. We missed one. Surah Saad, there's a sajda in Surah Saad. The Hanabila say this one is not sajda tilawa. There's a narration from Ibn Abbas. You guys know the ayah in Surah Saad? It's an ayah when I believe Dawood alayhi salam is mentioning the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think فَخَرَّ سَاجِدًا. What's the ayah? Anybody can look it up. But it's basically for shukr. And Ibn Abbas says that صَاد لَيْسَتْ مِنْ عَزَائِمِ السُّجُودِ. Okay? This is in Bukhari. So Ibn Abbas said this is not from... And the Hanabila are very picky about this because they said if it's sajdat shukr and you do it in salah, it will invalidate your prayer. Tamam? Saad is not one of them. Okay, the one in Saad. If anybody can find it up, You can see that it's a sajda shukr, where Dawood alayhi salam is basically mentioning the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he says the sajda. So it is in 14 places in the Quran. Two of them are in sajda, in Surah Al-Hajj. Tamam. So he says, لِقَارِ وَمُسْتَمِعْ وَيُكَبِّرُ إِذَا سَجَدْ وَإِذَا رَفَعَ يَجْلِسُ وَيُسَلِّمْ. So they see this as a salah, okay? So they say, you do takbir. If you're not in salah, okay? Allahu Akbar, you go into sujood, you say at least one Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. There are some narrations about some specific hadith, in specific dua in that. There's some weakness to that. But there's no problem if you do that dua. And they said, then you get up and you do taslim. Why? Because it's salah, right? They say it's salah. And they said that according to the hadith, تَحْرِيمُهَا التَّكْبِيرُ وَتَحْلِيلُهَا التَّسْلِيمُ. So since it's salah, okay, you have to say Allahu Akbar to start, and you have to say Salaamu Alaikum to end it. Does that make sense? Now, if you're in salah, okay, and you're reciting the ayah, you would just do sajda, okay, and then get up again. And the taslim happens at the end of the salah anyways, so there's no problem there. So, وَيُكَبِّرْ إِذَا سَجَدْ وَإِذَا رَفْعَ أَجْلِسْ وَيُسَلِّمْ. Okay, so recommended for both the reciter and the listener, one who is listening, not hearing. So even like if someone's reciting, okay, in Taraweeh, and you're like sitting down, and you hear it, it is recommended to do the sajda tilawah. And even more recommended to get up and pray with them. Okay, so even more recommended to get up and pray with them. Naam. Yeah, that's what I just said. So the Hanabi, they said that. That's what I just said right now. It's coming. I'll talk about it when we get there. Wudu is required because, so obviously you need wudu because this is salah. So you shouldn't do such. Yani, when you have a mushaf, you should have wudu. Remember when we in Tahara, what did we say about reciting the Quran without wudu? What did we say about that? We said it's what? Yeah, we said it's okay or no? We said it's fine, okay? But in janaba, no. In janaba, no. So in the higher, level of not having tahara, what's the word for impurity? My brain is... If impurity, you wouldn't be able to recite. But if you just lost your wudu, it's okay to recite it, but it's better to have wudu. And if you want to touch the mushaf, you have to have wudu. So obviously, if you're going to do sajda tilawa, usually you're holding the Quran, tamam. So you should have wudu. You should have wudu, okay? Yeah, and then they say that it's done for someone who is allowed to be your imam. What does that mean? So if you hear it on TV, yani you don't have to. That's what they're saying. Yani. No big deal. If you hear it, yani, and you're listening to it, I don't see a problem in doing it. طيب, how is it done? We say you say takbir, you do sajda, and then so. Allahu Akbar, you go down, and then Allahu Akbar to come up, right? And then Salaamu Alaikum. That's fine, right? You end with Taslim. Yeah. طيب. it says here, and this is an important mas'ala. وَكَرُهَا لِإِمَامٍ قِرَاءَتُهَا Okay? فِي سِرِّيَّ It is makruh, it is disliked, okay, for an imam to recite a surah with, that's why it was good to mention them. You should know them. Yani. With tilawa in a sirriya. Yani if the imam is leading duhur, it's disliked for him to do, okay, to read a surah with a sajda in it. It's makruh for him to do that. Why? Because it's going to come up and then he's not going to do sajda. And if he does sajda, now it's a problem. And imagine I'm praying duhur right now, and then it's like all of a sudden I just go down. What's going to happen to the guys behind me? Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, what's happening? Allah. Then everyone's like, is he going down? Do I go down? Like it's confusion. But they said, karuha, number one, so karaha for him to do it. And then they said, it's haram for the ones behind him to go down. This, so we're going to talk about this because this is a bit problematic. Or, yani, we need to discuss it. So he says, كَرُهَ الْإِمَامِ قِرَاءَتُهَا فِي سِرِّيَّةٍ وَسُجُودُهُ لَهَا Okay, so it's makruh to recite it in a silent prayer. طبعًا, if he's by himself, no problem. يعني, he can do it. But if he's leading people, if he recites it, it's makruh. And then if he goes down, it's makruh. Okay? طب, what about the guys behind? They said, وَعَلَى مَأْمُومٍ مُتَابَعَتُهُ فِي غَيْرِهَا. And the guys behind him, or the follower, okay, they should follow him in everything except that one. Except that one. طيب. We have opinion of another Hanbali, but he's, يعني الشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية, he's a Hanbali, but he's, we can say he's a mujtahid in the other madahib. And he said that, حتى الموفق ابن قدامة, I believe, yeah, and he's one of the great Hanbalis. He also said, يعني صاحب المغني, he said that it's okay and you follow him. And this opinion makes sense, right? Why? Because if you're not going to follow, the imam was put there for you to follow him. Unless he's doing something really abnormal, right? But for something like that, it can be assumed that it's sajda tilawa, okay? What if it's he's doing some, he forgot something in sahu, right? Or whatever, right? So it makes sense to follow the imam there, okay? They say that it's haram, and the imam is doing it out of ignorance or forgetfulness, right? But it makes sense that you follow him, okay? And I think that opinion makes more sense, because if you don't follow him, there's going to be more confusion. يعني imagine now the imam, طبعا we said it's makruh for him, but let's say he does it, okay? He's ignorant about it and he does it. If we tell people don't do it, then everybody is going to stand, and then others might go down, and it's just going to be confusion. So it makes sense to always just follow the imam. I think, na'am. They do that in Taraweeh. And subhanAllah, you know what's interesting is that even in Taraweeh, when it's loud, people get confused. And that's why some imams will mention it. Because half the room doesn't know Arabic. طبعًا, those who recite the Quran continuously, they know this is a sajda. Okay? And usually there's a word that says, okay? Fasjud waqtarib, kharra raki'an, or something like that. Right? But even in that, people get confused. So it makes sense that you just follow the imam. يعني. So for this one, we're gonna just kind of go against the author, and we're gonna say that it's okay to follow the imam in that one. If he does that, it's okay, inshallah. طيب, and then they said, وَسُجُودُ شُكْرٍ. نعم. The Hanabali, you know why they said that? They said, well, it's sunnah for the person who hears it. طب, the guy who's behind him, and he doesn't hear it, doesn't make sense for him to do sajda. Does that make sense? Yeah, their reason, they said, the follower shouldn't do sajda tilawa, because in a silent prayer, he didn't hear it. And the sajda tilawa is for the one who's reciting it, and the one who hears it. And he's neither the one who recited it, nor the one who heard it. Okay? But it's just a sajda, so it's not a big deal. يعني. And you're following the imam, and it should be fine. طيب, next we go to sajda al-shukr. طيب, when do we do sajda al-shukr? From the name. What's shukr? Shukr is gratitude. And so they say sajda shukr is done when a new blessing, you have a child, you just got a job, a dua just was accepted, you've been making dua for, to lose a few pounds, and alhamdulillah, you reach your number. Allahu Akbar. It's a big ni'mah, huh? Your favorite team scored? I'm not sure if that's a ni'mah. Tayyib, you made dua for it. Made dua that Maghrib make it to the final. They made it to the semis or the final? Or if something bad is pushed away from you, you're grateful for that. فهي says, وَسُجُودُ شُكْرٍ عِنْدَ تَجَدُّدِ نِعَمٍ, okay, وَانْدِفَاعِ نِقَمٍ. Okay, so whenever there's a, it's recommended to do sajda shukr when you have a new blessing, or when you're protected from something harmful, okay? يعني something bad was going to happen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you from it. So now you're grateful. Alhamdulillah. Okay? So you do sajdat shukr. You do a sajdat shukr, right? And it's just a sajda. It's just a sajda. Okay? you do Subhan Rabbil A'la, and you can thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in whichever way you like. But at sajda, it's a type of shukr. It's a type of shukr. And we have Surah Sad where Dawud alayhi salam did it, yani something that is recommended. So it is recommended to do it when there's a new blessing, okay, or when something harmful is pushed away. وَتَبْطُلُ بِهِ صَلَاتُ غَيْرِ جَاهِلٍ وَنَاسٍ وَهُوَ كَسُجُودِ تِلَاوَةٍ. So now this is where they tell you that تَبْطُلْ بِهِ صَلَاتُ غَيْرِ جَاهِلٍ. So someone who's not who's ignorant of it, no big deal. Tamam? So if done inside a prayer, it will invalidate it unless he's ignorant or did it out of forgetfulness. And if you do that, if you did it out of forgetfulness, okay, in your salah, then it's not gonna ruin your salah. But if you know that it's not part of the salah and you do it intentionally, then it will invalidate your salah. It will invalidate your salah. And so it is done like sujood of recitation, such as tilawa, right? So you need wudu for it. You have to say Subhan Rabbi al-A'la at least once. And it's considered a form of prayer. So that's sajdat al-shukr. Sajdat al-shukr. Tab, let's go to the prohibited times. Tafadhal.
Can you elaborate a bit on what it means by it's considered a form of prayer?
Yani they said that meaning that you should have wudu. And you should say, يعني, if you should say Allahu Akbar, sujood, okay. You do Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, you thank Allah, you make dua, okay. You get up, Allahu Akbar, and then Salaamu Alaikum.
Okay, and does it have to be like just the sujood? And
they also, sorry, they also require, يعني, whatever the shurut, you know, the shurut that we mentioned, tahara, qibla, awra, no najasa on you, right? Those things would be shurut as well. If you want to pray two nafil as a type of shukr, that's fine. That's fine, yani. Yani, aslan, salah in general is a type of shukr, yani you're being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is specific, like sometimes you just, you know, like something happens, you just finished the Quran, you just finished this juzu, right? Or you just got like, you passed your MCAT or something, I don't know. Like, you found out that you're getting a child and you've been waiting for a long time. There's these moments where you're like, you don't know what to do. People start screaming. Come down, pray to, you know, do a sajda shukr and now. Fadl. No, because that's not what the sunnah is. The sunnah is to do that sajda shukr at that moment. Mm-hmm. At that moment. Like at that moment, you have that feeling of shukr, of gratitude, or alhamdulillah, I've been saved from a big harm. Okay, you do this shukr. It's just like, it's something that happens on the moment. Now. Qad yakun. Naam. Lakin, in these masail, there's a qa'ida in fiqh that you say, if there's khilaf, go with the ahwat. And one of the things in the Hanbali madhab is they try to go with the ahwat. Ahwat, yani meaning the safer one. So if somebody says haram and somebody says, makruh, al-ahwat inno to, to say that this is haram, it's safer. Tamam? No. And laha wajh, yani, it, they have their dalils for it. Like, because this is an introductory class, we're not going to go into high ikhtilaf, because otherwise, we'll finish, when we're in our, in 2030. Tayyib, naam. You could. I mean, you just do it like with your eyes or something. You can't just do it there. Because remember, this would be this is considered a voluntary prayer. And you remember what we said about voluntary prayers? Qiyam is not a shart. Remember we said in voluntary prayers, standing is not a shart. So you could do it like that. You could do it in the car. Park your car and just do it inside. It's minus 20. You just do it inside. Because it's a voluntary thing, right? فَيَعْنِي الْأَمْرُ وَاسِعْ جِدًّا. Right, and someone can just say Alhamdulillah, Shukrullah, and then do sajda, and so on. There's a lot of flexibility when it comes to tatawwu. Let's talk about the prohibited times. Okay, so there are times in the day where you're not supposed to pray. Okay, So the mu'allif now he says, وأوقات النهي خمسة. Some say three. The Hanabila say five. And I'll mention why. So the Hanabila say that they are five. There's, let me explain them first before you look at the slide. There's five. Two are long and three are short. Two are long and three are short. The long ones are related to a salah, Fajr and Asr. And the short ones are related to the position of the sun. If you think about it that way, you won't get confused. The long ones are related to two salahs, which is Fajr and Asr. And the short ones, when I say short, it's like 5 to 10 minutes. Okay? They're related to the position of the sun. Tamam? So there's five. So he says here, so awqat al-nahi are khams. Okay? Min tulu'i fajrin thanin ila tulu'i shams wa min salat al-asri ila al-ghurub. So number one, min tulu'i fajrin thanin. Al-fajr al-thani, the second fajr we said when? It's the time of fajr. It's the actual time of fajr. Al-fajr al-thani, okay, it's not the false fajr, the real fajr. Remember, it's actually when we mentioned that there's two kind of fajrs. There's two fajr times. There's the fake one, they call it, al-kadhib, and there's the true one. So they said, min tulu'i fajrin thanin ila tulu'i shams, right? They have a hadith, because there's a hadith that says, إِذَا طَلَعَ الْفَجْرِ فَلَا صَلَاتَ إِلَّا رَكْعَتَي الْفَجْرِ إِذَا طَلَعَ الْفَجْرِ فَلَا صَلَاتَ. يعني if fajr comes out, okay, فَلَا صَلَاتَ, there's no salah except the two rak'ahs of fajr. Okay, راهو أحمد وأبو داود. So من طلوع فجر, so the first one, okay, from the second fajr until sunrise. This is one of the long ones, okay? So this is where the other madhahab kind of have some ikhtilaf, because if you think about it, so are you saying, the Hanabila are technically saying that when it's fajr time, what is it, 6:26? From 6:26 until sunrise, this is time of tahrim, okay? So, okay, when are you going to pray Fajr? so when are you going to pray Fajr? They said those four, the two sunnahs of Fajr and the two Fajr fard, those are istithna'at. Yani they are not part of it. Because the hadith says, إِذَا طَلَعَ الْفَجْرِ فَلَا صَلَاتَ إِلَّا except رَكْعَتَي الْفَجْرِ. So they said it starts from the second opinion of Imam Ahmed, actually. He said that from Fajr prayer until sunrise. So, and that's what the other madhab said, that once you pray Fajr, you're not allowed to pray anything else. That's why some of the ulama, they said, if you miss your sunnah of Fajr, you need to wait until the sun rises, like duha time. Okay? طبعًا, not as soon as sun rises, because that's one of the three short. Okay? We'll talk about it. So, the second opinion of Imam Ahmad, that yeah, it's from the, once you pray Fajr, until sunrise. Okay? So again, the first prohibited time is from Fajr until sunrise. Yani from the time you pray Fajr until the sun rises. So what would be sunrise? So 7:56. So right now, after you pray Fajr until 7:56, you're not allowed to pray anything there. You should not pray in that time. طيب. Now, of course, there's another opinion that you can pray your sunnah of Fajr right after Fajr. Okay, and that's an accepted opinion. ما في مشكلة لا يتفضل. الاستخارة. Should you do it in that time? You shouldn't do it in that time. No, there are علماء. They said that any salat that has a reason, like salat al-hay, استخارة, you can do it that time. But والله تعالى أعلم, it makes more sense to just wait. يعني your استخارة, does it have to happen at that time? No. And it, you can just do your dua for istikhara for that time, just because of the nahi. Okay, the nahi, there's qa'ida and fiqh that if there's a nahi and yani something lesser, go with the nahi, because the nahi is stronger. Al-ahwat, yani the safer. Salat al-khusuf, if salat al-khusuf happens, salat al-khusuf, if it happens, that's scientifically possible, right? Is it possible? Huh? Because mm-hmm. I'm leaning toward Allah. I'm not sure, but it seems from the Akad Sunan, okay, like from the highly recommended Sunan, and from the prayers of congregation, and so it might have istithna. We're gonna talk about the istithnaat that the Hanabila mentioned here, yani the exceptions. It could be one of them. I don't have a 100% answer. I'm not sure about it. Inshallah, I can look it up and give you an answer, inshallah. The second time, they say from Asr until sunset. Remember we said that? The Hanabila, they say that it's haram to pray Asr, okay, after that specific time, right? When the sun starts to get red, right? So from Asr until sunset, okay? So from there's two times of Asr. There's the one that it's recommended to pray, and there's the haram time of Asr, okay? So from that time until sunset, that is prohibited, okay? And there's a hadith for it. It says here, لا صلاة بعد صلاة العصر حتى تغرب الشمس. It's very clear. متفق عليه. Right? This is in Bukhari and Muslim. So that's why they say that at this time it's haram to pray Asr, okay? Unless you have an excuse. Unless you have an excuse. So now we mentioned the two times. The long time. So they're pretty long, right? Because we're saying if you pray Fajr, yani 6:40 until 7:56, that's a long time. That's how long? That's about an hour, right? So it's an hour and 10 minutes, an hour and 16 minutes. So that's a long time, hour and 16 minutes. And Asr, right, it's about an hour as well. And maybe a bit shorter, but it's about an hour depending if it's summer or winter. So that's also a long time. But the short times, now these are related to the sun, okay? The short times. So then he says, وعند طلوعها إلى ارتفاعها قدر رمح. Okay, so from the start of the rising of the sun until it's up in the sky a spear's height. That's why if you look at the time right now, okay, 7:56 is sunrise. Okay, you're not supposed to pray duha right at sunrise. You shouldn't do that. Okay, you pray duha about 10 to 15 minutes after. Why? Because of this. Nahi. So there's a nahi prohibition to pray anytime from the sun rises, okay, the sun is rising until yani 10 to 15 minutes, right? And so if you want to pray duha, when should you pray it? At 8:10. If you want to pray duha, because 7:56 is the sunrise, when can you pray duha? About 8:10. That's the safe. Always do about 15 minutes and you'll be on the safe zone, right? Because that's if you want to measure it until it's up in the sky, a spear's height, it's about 15 minutes. Okay, so distance between the horizon and the sun should be a spear's height, about 15 minutes or so after sunrise, varies according to location. Here in Calgary, and I checked this with Sheikh Hassan, it's about 15 minutes. About 15 minutes. So if you want to pray duha tomorrow, you pray at about 8:15 or so, and you should be on the safe side. So that's the first one. The second one, he says, حتى تزول, okay, وعند غروبها حتى يتم, okay. So now, okay, when the sun reaches its highest, okay, it's in the middle of the sky. Remember that we said dhuhr is when it's right in the highest, right on top of us, and then it leans over. يعني زوال, this is dhuhr time. But the short time when it's on the top, this is you're not allowed to pray this time. So don't ever pray right before dhuhr. And this is also a short time. Yani it's a very short time, 3 to 4 minutes. So dhuhr time, let's be practical here. Dhuhr time, 12:21. Are you allowed to pray at 12:20? No, it's haram to pray at that time. 12:19? No. 12:18? No. So don't pray right before dhuhr. Don't pray right before dhuhr. Wait until dhuhr adhan goes, then you can pray your sunan. Okay? Tawadda. Naam. Not after Fajr. After sunrise. 15 minutes after sunrise. Yeah, so if you want to pray duha, you can pray duha from 8:10 tomorrow until 12:15 or something.
Mm-hmm. If I pray like maybe 12:18, 12:19, not supposed to do that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I understand, like, the rule, the prohibition around Zawal is that because you don't want to give the impression that you're worshiping the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm indoors, nobody can see me. I know I'm not doing it. Does it still count?
There is no hadith that yani from yani no hadith, no practice of the Sahaba or the ulama that they would do that, right? And I know sometimes we try to use our logic to say, well, it's not really harming me. It could be an argument, Allahu alam, I'm not sure. But like, remember again, yani it's just 3 minutes, yani. Like, do you have to pray in those 3 minutes? If there's an opinion that's saying tahrim, okay. Yeah, do you have to pray in those 3 minutes? You don't have to pray those 3 minutes. And it's not a wajib. Now, there's exceptions. Like, if it's something wajib that you just remembered, okay, you missed Fajr, and you woke up at 12:20, okay, should you pray your Fajr? Pray your Fajr. Okay, it's time of Karaha, you pray your Fajr. ما في مشكلة. Because it's an exception. We'll talk about the exceptions, okay? Because that's a fard, it's a wajib. Why? Because if you die, it's going to be dayn on you because you lived in that time. But if you die and you didn't pray your duha, is Allah going to ask you for it? No. But He's going to ask you for your fajr. Does that make sense? So you should stay on the safe side. And the last one, so we said the three short ones. We said the time right after sunrise, okay? And then that time right before duhur, okay? And then the last one, it says, okay, وَعِنْدَ غُرُوبِهَا حَتَّى يَتِمْ, and when the sun is setting until, okay, so, and that's also a short time. When the sun starts to set until it's completely set, okay? So, يعني right before Maghrib. You know, that's a time of Tahrim, right before Maghrib, you shouldn't pray around that time. So let's quickly review, 5 times. 2 long ones, 3 short. 2 long ones are after Fajr, okay? The first one after Fajr until... until what? Until sunrise. Okay? The second time, from Asr until sunset. Those are the 2 long times. The 3 short ones related to the sun, that those 15 minutes after sunrise, okay? And then when it's on the top, a few minutes before Dhuhr, and then when it's setting right before Maghrib. It's easy to remember like that. Fajr, Asr, and then sunrise, middle of the day, and then right before sunset. Tamam, khalas, memorize them, cool,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Naam.
Just a question to clarify
the
difference between able to pray Fajr in that Tarawih
night. Naam.
And Asr, if you get closer to the Tarawih time, would you have to pray as a Qada? Or you can still pray?
If you get close to the Qada time, No. If you pray it in the karaha time of Asr, so it's the time, okay, that time, it still counts as ada'. You prayed it on time. Like in ma'ithim, without udhur. It's ada'. If you don't have an excuse, you'll be sinful, but you prayed it on time. Okay? Did that make sense? The one who prayed it early, he prayed it on time, and he's not sinful. Okay? The person who prayed it in Maghrib time, okay, with no excuse, he's sinful for praying it late. Yani it's also qada. It'll be qada. Okay? Wadih? طيب. So then he says exceptions. Okay? فَيَحْرُمُ ابْتِدَاءُ نَفْلٍ فِيهَا مُطْلَقًا. He mentioned something here that it's not allowed to start a nafl in it. And also they go into detail and they say, you shouldn't also start a nafl if you know it's about to go into tahrim time. Yani you shouldn't start a nafil and then you know the tahrim, the haram time is going to start. Because then you're going to finish it in the haram time. You shouldn't do that. Okay? So they say that you shouldn't do that. So, so except لا قضاء فرض وفعل ركعتي طواف وسنة فجر أداء قبلها وصلاة جنازة بعد فجر وعصر. And that's how he finishes the chapter here. So now, the exceptions. He says, so it's prohibited to pray in any of those, any nafil during prohibited times, but the following are exceptions. Making up a missed fard. So if you just get up and you missed fajr and it's tahrim time, you pray it. Okay? Because this one has a reason and it's wajib. It's fard on you. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, if you miss a faridah, as soon as you remember it, you pray it. As soon as you remember it, you pray it. Tamam? Even if you forget it, as soon as you remember, you pray it. طيب. Two rak'ahs of tawaf. What are these two rak'ahs of tawaf? When you do your tawaf, you're supposed to pray two behind Maqam Ibrahim, right? Those are an exception as well. And they have a hadith for it, yani. Yeah, they have the hadith. Ya bani Abdi Manaf, la tamna'u ahadan tafa bihada al-bayti wa salla ayya sa'atin sha' min laylin aw nahar. Don't stop anybody that min laylin aw nahar. Yani anytime, don't stop anybody that's praying in that time from night or day. So this is pretty general. So those two, and then making up two sunnahs of Fajr, okay? Right, and because we have a hadith of a sahabi who made them up after Fajr, and the Prophet ﷺ allowed it, okay? So that's why if you miss your two sunnahs of Fajr, before Fajr, you can pray them after Fajr, but it's always better to pray them before Fajr. And then janazah prayer after salat, after start of Fajr, and prayer of Asr. That's usually the time people do the janazah prayer. After here, we do it like Dhuhr, I think, okay? Na'am. But these are during the long times of Tahrim. In the short times of Tahrim, those three, you shouldn't do janazah. Why? Because Aslan is 3 minutes. So they say, khalas, just wait those 3 minutes. They say, unless يعني, the you know, it's going to harm the corpse or it's going to, something, it's urgent. But you should just wait those 5-10 minutes, okay? Otherwise, in the long ones, يعني, after Fajr or after Asr, it's allowed to do that. Okay, I believe in Saudi Arabia, they usually pray them after Asr. Salat al-Janazah is usually after Asr in the big masajid. Here, we usually do it after Dhuhr. And that's fine. And then that's even safer, technically. Tamam? طيب. We have like 4 minutes. Okay, I wanted to go into the debate of the congregational prayer. طبعاً, the مسألة Salat al-Jama'ah, we have Isha in 4 minutes, inshallah. Salat al-Jama'ah, طيب, let me ask you guys a question. Salat al-Jama'ah, congregational prayer, is it wajib or sunnah? What do you guys think? Bismillah.
Didn't the Prophet say he would burn someone's house down?
Jameel. Okay. So that inclines to wujub. Tayyib, what else? So if you can hear or not. So in this mas'al, there's four opinions. Okay? So you have the opinion that they say it's fard kifaya. Yani it's fard on the whole ummah. If some do it, okay, then alhamdulillah, everybody else is okay praying by themselves. Okay? Then we have the opinion of that it's fard ayn. It's fard on every ayn, on every individual. And that's the opinion of the Hanabila, the opinion of Imam Ahmad, al-Awza'i, and other ulama. And the Hanabila are the only ones that went with this. Okay? That's why I wanted to go through this debate. Number three, they said sunnah mu'akkada, and there's probably majority of the ulama, they said sunnah mu'akkada. So you have, mathalan, ulama from all the madhahib. Yani, when I say all the madhahib, because we have majority of the madhahib and the imam himself, and there's other imams in the madhahib that might go against it. Tamam? And then you have the last opinion, which is the opinion of the Zahiriyya. We never talked about the Zahiriyya, but al-Zahiriyya are another madhahib that is considered in fiqh. They took everything literally, okay? And it started by someone who's called Dawood al-Zahiri, and they see everything literal, okay? And some ulama consider them as one of the madhahib. Now, they said that it's a shart, actually. Yani, shart sihha, meaning that if you don't pray in jama'ah, your salah doesn't count, aslan. The others said, if it's wajib and you prayed by yourself, it counts, but you're sinful. Does that make sense? Okay? The Zahiriyya, they said that, I think I have it here, yeah. So four opinions, Fard Kifaya, Shafi'is, Hanafis, Malikis, Fard Ayn, on every individual, the Hanabila talked about that. Highly recommended, huge number of scholars, they said that, the Sunnah Mu'akkada. And number four, it's a condition for the validity of the prayer. Those are the Zahiriyya that they mentioned that. The Dalils for the Wujub are very strong, okay? Mathalan, you have the Dalil of the Hadith that the brother mentioned, right? That the Prophet said that, this was in the time of Medina, okay? That he said that he, hamamtu. It's, I had the intention, or I really wanted to get someone to lead the prayer and go to the houses of those who are not praying in jama'ah. This was Aisha Salah. He was talking about this and burned their houses, had it not been for the children and the high. And so some took this as something that's very serious. Others said this is meant as, because we have narrations saying that It's the hypocrites who don't pray Fajr and Isha. And the heaviest salah is on the hypocrites. It's Fajr and Isha. So they said, this is the Prophet ﷺ doesn't want people to be similar to the hypocrites. So had a zajr, yani just kind of, what's the opposite? What's zajr? Zajr is like, opposite of motivation. Yani kind of like just to put people, to push people away from missing those salawat. Tamam? And also they had the dalil of salatul khawf, right? That even in war you have to pray jama'ah. And we have the Surah An-Nisa, it explains how to pray jama'ah during war, right? And it's not like some of them had to do it. The way, when we talk about it, you have a line of people praying during war, and then another defending, and then they're supposed to switch. Tamam? So they said, this is another dalil. The other groups, they said, well, we have a hadith that says that the jama'ah prayer, and we'll end here, has 27 rewards more than the fard prayer, than the single, when you pray by yourself. So they said, well, the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who prays by himself gets one reward. And he didn't say that he's sinful. So afdal means it's better. Like we have the father, which is single, all right? And so on. And there's lots of adilla. Maybe we'll continue this discussion, inshallah, next time. And we'll end here, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.